We are officially into 2021 season two, Satisfactionist Live. And so tonight the topic is around goal setting, which seems appropriate because being the beginning of the year, oftentimes this is when people set resolutions, things that they intend to do better this year than they did last year. And certainly it couldn't, I probably shouldn't say that it couldn't get any worse, but certainly, we were thrown for a loop in 2020 and really set probably a lot of plans that were in motion way out of control. And, we all kind of finished a little off target, maybe where we expected to. So things changed quite a bit, whether it was travel plans, plans with family, graduation, going to school, going to work, all of that, right, took a bit of a hit, and we've had to do things much differently and adjust a lot of things that we do. And so as we kick off 2020, I guess the big question is, how do we plan? How do we set goals in consideration of everything that we've been through and some of the unknowns that are coming up? And, how do we do a little bit better than we did last year? And there's a lot of ways that we can think about this. I thought what I'd do is just kind of go through some of the ways that we often think about it in the world of corporate America. In corporate America, going into 2020, we had some pretty thoughtful plans about how the business was going to roll out. If you're a company like Zoom, you could have never imagined the kind of tremendous growth that you have experienced. And if you're a company like Hilton, you probably could have never imagined the kind of hit that you would have taken in a year like this. And this is where, CEOs and senior executives, this is really where their skills get tested, because there's a lot of things that you have to do in an organization to kind of not just go with the things that you did plan, but also respond and react to the things that you could have never imagined happening. And so as we think about this year, one of the strategies around goal planning that I'll share with you guys is one that I was taught several years ago about kind of structuring your goals and what they call kind of a framework of objectives, goals, strategies, initiatives, and measures. And why all those things are really important and why they matter is because the way it kind of rolls out and the way it kind of allows the organization to really think about where they're going and the things that they're doing and how they're going to get there. So when we think about objectives, and objectives and goals, can kind of be somewhat similar. There's a lot of relationship between those two things. The way that I often teach this, like when I'm talking about this subject in class, is, in business school, a lot of times we learn about short-term planning, mid-term planning, long-term planning. Your short-term planning are those things that are going to kind of happen within that year, no more than 2 years out. I mean, we're really talking about things that are in the immediate space. Mid-term planning is kind of 1 to 3 years out, and longer term planning tends to be, 5, 10 years or so. And so when we think about building this goal framework from that perspective, what we think about is, using objectives as a way of kind of setting what your long-term desires and long-term goals are going to be, how your goals kind of lead into those objectives. I like to think of objectives as when we think of the mission, vision, values statement. These are the things we stand for. These are the things that we put a stake in the ground and we say, ultimately, this is the destination that we want to head to, right? So if you're starting a new business, there's probably a place that you want to be somewhere in the future. If you're starting your academic journey in school, there's an end destination. Of course, that's graduation, Without having a very clear destination of where you're going, it's really hard to kind of build goals, right? And so individually, you know, kind of what I've always done is thought about how do I think about like where do I want to be, you know, 5, 10 years from now? And that's how I kind of establish, you know, what I'm going to be working on today and building up to that, right? So very first, start with your objectives and don't go crazy, right? Do very manageable 3, maybe 5 at the most, but just keep them very simple, right? Your objectives could be something like, I want to, improve your living conditions, build a savings, have a savings goal, have the ability to, I don't know, go to the grocery store and not worry about what the bill's going to be, right? So just some things that are what may seem to you right now very far out, but something that's going to anchor your drive, right? Something that is going to give you that drive for that destination. So let's say, for example, going to school, you may say career-wise, like the reason you're going to school is to get this degree, to be able to do this thing in this field, and your ultimate objective is to become senior manager in an organization like Goldman Sachs, right? Pretty lofty if you're undergrad and, you know, maybe you haven't even earned college credit one. It's a very lofty goal or lofty objective, but it is something that you can anchor to, right? So the next thing is to develop the goal, right? So for every objective you create, you should have a goal that comes off of that. And the goal is kind of that, you know, mid to long-term destination. And so you want to frame up your goals in such a way that they address ultimately where you're going, right? So if your destination is to, you know, be a senior executive at Goldman Sachs, then your immediate goal, something that is kind of midterm to that, would be getting through a degree in finance, right? Or maybe even completing your CPA. Those would be activities that would kind of lend to that longer term process. And then, you know, your strategy, you're starting to get a little bit more into the tactics of what you're going to be doing, the actual actions that are part of your bigger project plan. If your goal is to ultimately graduate with a CPA, your strategy would be to fill your course load with classes that are ultimately going to get you to that end destination. This means that you don't, take, you know, especially if you have a time frame around your objective, like you want to do this in the next 10 years, it means being focused and being headstrong on the things that you want to make sure that you accomplish. So sticking to your strategies, you want to make sure that you don't do things that are strategically off what your goals and objectives are. Making sure that your course load speaks to your end destination, not taking things that would, you know, that are kind of filler classes or things that are, not difficult just so that you can get the credit. I've sometimes spoken to MBA students, for example, and they're really just most interested in getting through the degree the fastest way possible. My feedback is always, with an advanced degree, with an MBA, you are putting yourself in charge of something, typically a business or some function or facet of that organization. As such, you have a responsibility. And I always equate it to finding a doctor, right? Do you want to find the doctor who found the fastest way to get through medical school? Or do you want to find the one who took their time to really kind of learn the craft and understand what they were doing? If you have this mindset that you're just trying to get through your degree the fastest way possible without really focusing on the learning and what you're actually taking in order to get to that end destination, then you're shortchanging not only yourselves, but all those who may eventually fall under you and will be impacted by the decisions that you make, right? So my personal philosophy is don't always focus on the speed at which you get things done, especially when it comes to education, but rather focus on what you're learning and not so much on getting the answer, but why the answer is what it is. So that said, strategies kind of feed into those goals and objectives. The initiatives are the very tactical things. And I like to say the initiatives are really those shorter term activities that you're going to be doing. Again, you would take your course outline, you know, the many courses that you're going to take for your degree, and your initiatives might be this semester, right? And so in this semester, you're going to, you know, knock out your prerequisites so that you don't get to a certain point along your academic journey, along your path, and find that you've got to go backwards to take a class in order to move forward. You want to make sure that you create a kind of a pathway to your degree that takes into consideration all of those types of courses that you're going to need in order to build to where you want to go. And then measures. Measures probably the, even though they come at the end, they're probably one of the most important aspects of all of this. And the reason I say that is it's one thing to state what you are going to do. It is quite another to actively be doing it and then have the ability to reflect on what you've done to determine whether or not you are on track or off track. And that's really what the measures allow us to do. And I'm sure as you probably thought about this this topic of goal setting, you may not have really gone to this extent where you kind of created this linear path that thinks about your longer term goals and where you're going. But what I have found most very successful people tend to do is they have a very clear understanding of the activities that they're doing today and how those activities that they're doing today ultimately feed into their longer-term destination, their longer-term objectives and goals. And typically what I find is that people who tend to be very successful are always working their plan. They are always doing the things today that are ultimately going to get them to where they want to do, to what they want to do tomorrow. And that is really, you know, kind of the key of it, right? It's about making plans to ensure that we meet that end destination. And I say all of this as I kind of look at wrapping this up, because goals are very different than resolutions, right? So it tends a lot of time at the beginning of the year, people will make a resolution for what they want to do. Resolutions tend to be kind of anchored in a modification or a change of behavior. And while, you know, those are always very noble things, behaviors are one of the more challenging things to append, right? To make different. And part of the reason for that is the fact that we get kind of locked into these habits and routines that can sometimes be very challenging to break away from. There was a great book from Charles Duhigg that talks about how we create habits. And, that book is really good about kind of giving you an understanding of not only how habits are formed, but how you can introduce different routines to ultimately disrupt the pattern of habit that you're in an effort to kind of modify behavior and move yourself into a different direction. And I would say, as you think about creating goals and you think about creating your objectives and your strategies, initiatives, and measures and all that wonderful stuff, that you think about the fact that it may take some behavior changes. Some folks are procrastinators. Some folks love to talk about starting things. One of the things I used to tell people when I managed people was like, I want to hear it three times. I want to hear when you think about it. I want to hear when you start and I want to hear when you finish. But I don't want to continue to hear about when you're going to, you know, when you're going to do something or you're thinking about doing something. I tend to be a person who's very kind of action oriented. And so, which means that I don't like to sit there and admire the idea of getting started on something very often. You know, even as we kick off this new year with 2021, and I'm going to switch gears a little bit into the show and kind of what's in the future and why I'm really kind of excited about getting back, not only behind the microphone, behind the camera, but also just getting in contact with some of my panel of experts that I have, and some of the guests that I have coming up and lined up. I'm really looking forward to doing, some of this, kind of growing the show and getting more content oriented. So I went through the lecture part, went through the lesson part earlier. Now we're going to talk about moving forward. So a couple of things. Number one, you'll probably notice got a little merch going on. That's right. So Satisfactionist Live, we have a merch shop. If you go to satisfactionist.com, you can check it out there. We're also, we actually have our merch shop on Redbubble. So if you go to redbubble.com, look for Satisfactionist, you'll see all kinds of stuff that we are putting out there. And we say we, I mean I. I always talk in a group dynamic because, you know, the reality is I have a wonderful group of contacts who are subject matter experts in a lot of different things. And so when I say we, I'm also kind of tipping my hat to my subject matter experts who come on here, my panelists, my guests who you know, donate their time, come on the show, share what they know. I love that. I also love meeting and talking to new people. And so one of the things that I want to start doing as we move forward in the show is, if you are out there, if you're hearing this, if you are somebody who is an expert, you have an idea, you're an entrepreneur, you want to kind of, get the thing that you're doing out there in the world, and you want a little bit of a captive audience, feel free to visit satisfactionist.com, go to the show page. Want to be a panelist, you can learn about how to be a panelist on the show. I would love to have you. I've met quite a few people just in reaching out and bringing people on. Always love meeting new folks, talking about things. So if you have some very intriguing topics that you would love to get into, I would definitely welcome you reaching out. I will share this. So a couple years back, I you know, listened to Adam Carolla podcast, right? One of the early podcast folks out there, holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most podcast episodes put out there. Though Joe Rogan is also, you know, very huge, Adam Carolla was one of the early ones that kind of blew up in the podcast universe. And so, one of the things he used to always say on his show was, you know, he'll do stuff, but nobody ever reaches out and asks. And so, I was, working in the wine business and, also doing some consulting work and, decided, you know, hearing him in my head about, you know, never hearing from folks, like just reach out and ask, reached out to a show producer, Mike August, and, you know, shared a little bit of my experience and what I knew. Literally within a week, I was sitting down with his wife, Lynette Carolla, in San Francisco, and we were talking about, their drinks business. And while nothing transpired, you know, it was still a great experience. And I will say none of that experience and making those contacts and talking with those folks would have ever happened if I hadn't just reached out and asked. And so a big proponent of doing that, encourage anybody out there who is listening to this or watching this, hearing this, if it is something that you want to do, you want to reach out, feel free. Would love to hear from you. Would also love to hear from entrepreneurs and business people. One of the things I love doing the most is listening to business ideas and listening to business problems, like problems that entrepreneurs have, whether it's product, marketing, sales, operations, managing people. Those are the things that I, pardon me, that I really love to get into. And so if you got a question, and maybe we could even do something where Shoot me a question. We could have you on. If I think there's one of my experts in my pool of folks who I work with who could also chime in and help you out, hit me up. Let's see what we can let's see what we can talk about and move you past any problems or questions that you have. Because to me, that's a lot of fun. I give out more free advice and help people voluntarily than I ever charge for. And I've kind of always done that. So, very, very anxious and very willing to help out folks. So, certainly feel free to do that. And then, lastly, let's talk about things that we have coming up. So, Thursday, we have Dr. Keith Watts, not a medical doctor, but he is in the pharmaceutical business, and he's kind of a serial entrepreneur in pharmaceuticals. And Keith and I are going to get into conversations about vaccine development and kind of what it takes to bring things to market. Of course, COVID vaccine is a very hot topic right now, and so we want to touch on that. The following week, I have a gentleman who's coming on who is a scholar in presidential studies. And we are going to be talking about the Electoral College and whether or not we should consider just completely revamping the Electoral College. And there's some passionate views on that on both sides of the fence. I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and I said, it seems that whoever loses is always talking about changing the Electoral College. That's, I think, holding true. But one of the things I think is very interesting about the topic is that in the last 200 years, there have been, according to the historical archives, 700 proposals to either modify or eliminate the Electoral College. So this is not a topic that has is new. This is something that we have been dealing with and wrestling with for generations. And like I said, we have an expert who's going to be coming on, sharing his thoughts and his knowledge around this. Something I really hope we can all kind of tune into and check out and learn from. And then past that, we got more. We got more shows coming up, looking for panelists, looking for experts to come on. So if you have a story to share, if you have a particular area of knowledge that is intriguing, maybe you're working on a project, maybe you're doing some research, you'd love to come on and talk about it, I would love to hear about it. So with that, folks, we're gonna call this a wrap. And again, I just want to thank you guys for checking this out, tuning in, listening to the podcast, listening to this live. We are going to, I think, have some really interesting topics moving forward. And I'm also going to try and put out a little bit more stuff that is not necessarily in the confines of the studio, a little bit more content of being out in the world. So, socially distanced and COVID-free. Anyways, folks, thanks for checking this out. Thanks for visiting Satisfactionist Live, and looking forward to having a lot more, just a lot more fun in the weeks ahead. All right, gang, thanks much. Have a good one. Enjoy, and we will catch you next time.